When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did well. And there's some stories.
For the first time in this new series, it's the Final Word Daily. Adam Collins with you in London. Cam Ponsonby in Hyderabad, India. England Daily for Westfield London. Westfield, Stratford City, more extra, less ordinary. Cam, you've just flown in. You've gone straight to the ground. You're our globe-trotting correspondent for the next 7 or 8 weeks or whatever it works out to be. How are you feeling?
So happy to be here. So excited to be here. I was a bit anxious about 24 hours ago. It all felt a bit rushed, but then coming up the steps, I'm such a child in that. When you get to the kind of peak of a staircase and you see the grass of a stadium, a new stadium, and the excitement built a little bit. I only decided to come back because Westfield was back. We were a package deal in the World Cup and now in again for the India series. No, it's been very exciting and haven't got to the hotel yet at all, so I've come straight to the ground, ready to go.
So we've got Jeff and Brat doing the Australia West Indies dailies, and you and I will be doing India England this week. A bit of mixing and matching, but you'll be the one constant throughout the 5 test matches. As I mentioned before, starting at Hyderabad, that sensation of walking into the ground, Brendan McCullum said something similar yesterday, having enjoyed so much success there as both a New Zealand player and of course in the Indian Premier League. But there is a lot of attention on the way that England are going to come at this task, whether their brand of cricket over the last couple of years will be sustainable on tracks that will rag from minute one, probably. That's the hint from England's side, more than a hint. They've picked 3 specialist spinners and just 1 seamer, which we saw Australia do a little bit of last year. I think they did it in certainly in a couple of them. I can't remember which configuration now. It's been a while. But England cutting straight to the car chase. Joe Root is a part-time spinner as well. Ben Stokes fit to go. They will be playing a debutant in Tom Hartley and Rayan Ahmed for his second opportunity for England in the whites, along with, of course, Jack Leach, who missed the most recent England test series against Australia with stress fractures in the English summer.
Yeah, I think one of the key differences between when we look at Australia having done it and now England doing it was Australia's team was Pat Cummins and England's is Mark Wood. Kind of Mark Wood has been given an express kind of piece of advice, or like instruction is the word I'm looking for, in terms of you're bowling short spells. We're just going to ask you to bowl as quickly as possible. When the ball starts reversing, you're coming into the attack. But it's interesting with this series because India are so good at home. They've lost 3 of their last 46 test matches here. If England lose, that is not an indictment of their strategy. And the whole point is they're coming out here. Does Baswell work in India? I don't think England have to win to show that Baswell works. I think the last decade and change has shown that any method of cricket that comes out here ultimately fails. And no one ever comes out here and plays 5 test matches. So it's going to be even harder for England to win on that front. But the reason why there are more upsets in T20 cricket versus Test cricket is because it's a more volatile game. And when you add in England's attacking mindset with the bats and the wickets that are going to turn from day one, that creates high variance, volatile test cricket. And it seems like the most likely scenario, or most likely combination of factors that could lead to a team beating India. That being said, that's kind of the side of my brain that wants to be here in 2 months' time and it being 2-2 going into the last test match. The pragmatic side of me still goes like, Cam, it's probably going to be 5-0. India are amazing and they're better. Ravi Ashwin and Ravindra Jadeja are better than Tom Hartley and Rehan Ahmed. I don't mean to shock anyone with those takes.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. And look, there's two different phases to India's dominance since 2012 at home. I think it's four losses, right? There were a couple against Australia and two others along the way. The first half of it were played on very, very flat tracks where the practice was to run the scoreboard up, high-scoring matches, and just to do them slowly. The last 5 or 6 years has been very different. We spoke to Jiteshwar Pujara on the podcast last year down at Hoven. India's batters don't love this as a rule because they know that it brings their own numbers down. It makes it harder for them to have an influence. It puts them right in the middle of the lottery. But it does mean that with two master exponents of their craft in Ashwin and Jadeja, it makes it so difficult for foreign batsmen coming over there and trying to get a start when playing conventionally. So I agree with you that the more scattergun way of playing cricket, a really small example of this was Zach Crawley back at the day-night test match at Ahmedabad in 2021, I think it was, during the pandemic. He only made 50-odd, but he did so at a strike rate of about 120 on that first morning. And they might take some inspiration from that in that if you can go early and try and put some pressure back on the fielding team, and that's what Bazball, if you want to use that term, has been all about, putting as much pressure on the fielding team as possible in order to make them make bad decisions and to play outside of their comfort zone. So if they can do that to India, it's a bloody big ask. But if they can, it could be the kind of series where there is volatility naturally built into it. On the other hand, if the techniques don't hold up against the spinning ball and it is going through the surface from morning one, and maybe it will or maybe it won't, it might turn into a series where it's more like Indore last year where the pitches were set up to explode from minute one, or it might be more like it was in Chennai back in 2021 where it took a couple of days to get really difficult. Either way, it's going to be fascinating to watch. And the fact that Ben Stokes is there feels super important, Cam. We didn't know as recently as 48 hours ago whether he'd be fit to take the field after his knee surgery. But that, even just the fact that he's the presence of Ben Stokes, had it not been Stokes, it would have been Ollie Pope leading this England team in India, which feels like a huge hurdle for a younger player to clear. But at least with Stokes, there's always that inbuilt belief.
For sure. And I think the question about England isn't whether they'll try and take down the Indian attack, it's whether they'll succeed in doing so. That Zach Crawley innings you mentioned a couple of years ago, that was the innings where I think we all kind of drank the Kool-Aid and went, right, Zach Crawley's the best player in the world, this is amazing. And then you then compare it with his other opening partner of this series, Ben Duckett. He obviously has his own narrative with Ravi Ashwin, and kind of, yeah, Ashwin just was all over him, which is no shame on Ben Duckett's part. And now he's going to come out here, and I think he said in an interview with Wisden that he has about 100 different sweep shots, or about 10 different sweep shots. So if I can absolutely envisage a scenario where Ashwin's got the first over of a test match or first over of an innings, and we're going to be seeing Ben Duckett reverse sweeping against him. It's going to be so exciting, so kind of interesting to watch. And I think something that makes it more interesting to watch is the inclusion of Ben Stokes solely as a batter, because Ben Stokes' absence as an all-rounder creates like such problems for this England team, in that it's a really kind of threadbare bowling attack. You have one seamer, three spinners, plus Joe Root, and also there's no real balance to that batting lineup. You have Rehan Ahmed at eight, who's so exciting to watch, but I don't think England would, in a best case scenario, would have him as high as eight currently. But kind of like, innovation is driven by necessity, or is a kind of product of necessity. You've got a captain here who loves just doing kind of quirky things. In his interviews with with his press conference with the UK written media a couple of days ago, he said one of the things that Jack Leach would be really helpful for is that he can tell the other bowlers how I captain. He went, no, these guys will never have been led by someone like me, will never have been spoken to the way I'm about to kind of lead these guys and work the fields I'm about to set for them. And that's very helpful to have an intermediary to kind of pat them on the back and go, don't worry, like, as long as you're trying to take wickets, we really don't care if you're going at 4-5 and over. And because it's such an extreme condition and such a difficult place to come and try and win a game, let alone a series, I think we're going to be seeing some remarkable plans and kind of tactics from an England side led by Ben Stokes. And you touched on that there. Had Stokes not been fit, I think that was a bit of a misnomer from McCullum. McCullum went, oh, we'll make that decision as late as possible. And Stokes went, nah, I'm fit. But like, you've got Pope as the vice-captain. Had Brook not gone home, would Pope have been in the team, or would have Bairstow gone in? There was a lot of selection decisions for England to make until Harry Brook unfortunately had to go home, and then the team pretty much, and from a batting perspective at least, sorted itself out.
Yeah, so to pick up a couple of bits there, first of all with Jack Leach, he was the senior spinner in India the last time they were there, bowling in tandem with Dom Bess, but he took plenty of wickets, Leach, but he did take some tap as well, principally through Rishabh Pant, who's not there. India have signalled that they're going to pick a specialist keeper, and by that I mean they're not going to pick KL Rahul to have the gloves. As good a job as he did in South Africa, and KL Rahul will be in the side, but not keeping. So in all probability, final word fave, KS Bharat back in the 11. I love, as I've said before in the podcast, I love the fact that there's still room for a player like KS Bharat in the Indian Test side. So much of the story around this group has been, short form skills taking their Test game to a whole another level, whereas KS Bharat and more a conventional classical player, tall wicketkeeper as well. Didn't have a great time of it against Australia this time last year with the gloves or the bat. So if he does get the nod, he'll have to perform. And then looking down the England list, so the experience of Jack Leach is one thing, but also the experience of Johnny Bairstow not going so well in India last time, in that higgledy-piggledy, flying blokes in, flying blokes out due to COVID and resting and so on, and we discussed that at length at the time. But when Bairstow returned to the side, he really did struggle. I wonder whether, had Brook remained with the squad, acknowledging Brook's gone home for personal reasons and won't be taking his spot in the side, whether it would have been Bairstow making the final 11 over Ben Folkes. And I must admit, partly I was hoping for that, for the sheer chaos on social media. There would have been remember when Ben Folkes was left out of the Ashes squad, that made some people very upset that Bairstow got the nod ahead of him there, and we talked about that again in some detail about the relative worth of having a keeper as strong as Folkes in the side. But had they gone for Bairstow in spinning conditions in India, that would have been quite something. Or it might have been that Folkes got the nod and Bairstow missed out altogether, despite the fact that he's been so productive as a Test player through the baseball regime, if you like. So they didn't have to make that decision. Both of them play.
Yeah, I think Folkes was always going to play. I think that was kind of a decision that may have been made a while ago, and then you kind of tease it forward rather than having to announce anything, commit to anything. Like, the messaging was Ben Folkes comes back into the Test squad, and Johnny Bairstow was told, you need to get fitter. And that's public record, that kind of day. They went and gave him that message. And with that being the direction of travel, I think it would have just been a case that Johnny Bairstow would have sat out, because then otherwise you're leaving out your kind of Test vice captain. But both of them, both Bairstow and Pope, had kind of very frenetic series in India last time. I remember an anecdote from a Surrey Academy coach who said, as long as he can remember, going back to when Pope was 13, 14 years old, against spin, he'd paddle sweep the first ball he faced of it just to kind of get busy, to get going. And we kind of saw that. We've seen that in action with Pope against Nathan Lyon in particular, when he had real struggles over in the Ashes. But England don't have to worry about that. Their batting lineup is sorted. And I also actually think it's just, obviously, you're missing Harry Brook, but it is, aside from one absence, which you kind of shake hands on. I think if you gave an option to any team in the world, you can have your top seven of your top eight batters as your top seven. I think you'd shake hands on that every single time. I think England will be very content with the batting lineup they're going to have out here. I think it's the best kind of makeup to try and defeat this India team, which is just going to be, they're going to try and, rather than letting it get to day four or five, which might not anyway, you're going to have to make the most of day one and just put full foot to the floor. I think it's going to be really odd, Adam. I think it's going to be really strange cricket we're about to see. I think we're going to see England really trying to kind of treat it almost like, well, if we're only going to get 50 overs to bat, let's try and get 280 in that time rather than nicking off. I think we could see a kind of where extremes kind of lead to, one extreme leads to another, as it were. So we have an extreme condition, we'll have an extreme response from England. Whether it works, who knows? We'll find out in about 24 hours.
Looking forward to watching Tom Hartley bowl. I did a game of his, I think, the last round of 2022, when he barely played red ball cricket that season. He was with Lanks mostly as a white ball bowler, and they had Matt Parkinson at their disposal, who for the most part was their first choice spinner. but he's been able to, you know, basically brand himself as the England Akshar, if I'm getting this right, like in terms of being able to bowl into the pitch. Tallest spinner going on with the arm. He's talked in the media leading up to the series about having a Dusra and having the confidence to bowl it. So that'll be a point of interest when he first comes on to bowl at some stage. But so a different kind of operator, the Jack Leach, will be looking to get some purchase in the surface and hold up an end. And then the volatility of the natural volatility of Rayan Ahmed being a wrist spinner, a more tactile of the two crafts, if you like, when bowling over the top of the wrist. So in tandem, or the three of them working as a trio, not huge amounts of experience there. Hartley hasn't been kind of the guy who's made his way into the England team on the back of first-class performances. It's more on gut. And the player they couldn't pick this week, Shahab Bashir, who is back in England, that's a story which has continued to bubble along. It's been a bit of a diplomatic incident as well, but the word coming through, Cam, is that he now has got his visa, is that correct, and will be eligible for the second Test match?
Unless you've seen breaking news in the last 20 minutes that I haven't, I haven't heard that myself. Ben Stokes and Rohit Sharma were just asked about it in the press conferences. Rohit Sharma said, in a bit more of a difficult position to answer the question from being from the Indian camp, he basically said, I don't work in the visa office. I feel sorry for the guy. Like, it's a shame. Ben Stokes was asked if there had been any thoughts of boycotting the match, and he said, no, we jokingly said when we're out in the UAE, we're not going to leave without Bash, but kind of that was never really going to be on the cards. It's one of those things, I'm struggling to really see the nuance in the story, as it were. It just seems bad. It's a tale as old as time with kind of stories of players with Pakistani heritage way back when not necessarily being able to get into India, and there are kind of occasions of it happening vice versa as well. And I think it's one of those stories where when you're in the kind of cricket journalist bubble, as it were, I hate using that word, but I think it's probably the best one for this scenario, this happens all the time. Oh, it's another case of this. Oh, it happened to Khawaja last year. Oh, it happened across the World Cup with Pakistan's journalists and fans and whatever. Oh, the Pakistan team got delayed. Like, it's an old story. It's just a new iteration of it. But I think it's one of those stories where your friends who are outside the cricket world, who just kind of loosely follow it, will message you and go, what do you mean he can't get into the country? Like, that's nuts. That's bonkers. I think that is... Mm. I think that's where I kind of fall down on it, is that it's not an okay situation where someone is unable to kind of get into a nation having been part of the squad when it was announced. There's been enough time to get this all sorted out. I think it's a shame, and it's a real kind of like, it's a stain on the kind of system of how things are working. What's also really difficult is you can't really get a reply. You can't really find out. There's no one to answer to. It's too kind of, India is a nation of 1.5 billion people. There's no real place where you can get an answer or kind of responsibility for it. If the BCC are asked about it and they go, hey, well, we don't handle the visas. There's nothing we can do about this. And that's an added element of frustration. There's no real accountability for a story which ultimately ends up with a 20-year-old young man kind of being stranded in England when he should be kind of running drinks behind me.
Yeah, and he might have even played. And you're right that it's diffuse to an extent, but also... Jay Shah's old man has a fair bit of clout. You would have thought that there was a way of someone picking up the phone and resolving it before it required him returning to the UK to then get his passport stamped. And what I said before, I think there was some speculation online that it was all going to be sorted out at the London end, so maybe I've got one step ahead of myself there. But nevertheless, these things do tend to get sorted out, but there is a wider story here. And look, it's day one of the series. I haven't got the energy to get my YouTube comments absolutely bombed here, and I'm sure that'll happen in the usual way as we work our way through the next 8 weeks.
Should we talk about Tom Hartley again?
I know, right? Let's go back to Tom Hartley and don't talk about Shahab, because
I genuinely can't think of anyone who's ever been given more of a poison chalice leading into their Test debut than Tom Hartley. He's been picked because they say you are England's Akshar Patel, a bloke who averaged 9 with the ball in Test cricket. Like, it's so hard. You whenever someone comes in, say it's like Devilled Brevis, and they go, baby AB, and you go, Carl, you don't want to kind of big up these guys. Or Rayan Ahmed comes in and goes, I could be England's next Adil Rashid. And the whole thing is, you don't make those comparisons because they're unfair on players. And we've plucked this guy from county cricket, and we've absolutely kind of moneyballed it and gone, he bowls the ball from really high and he just chucks it into the kind of the earthquake that's happening in the middle of the pitch, it's going to rag somewhere and it's going to be brilliant. It's going to work. And by all accounts, like, by all accounts, it might work. And everyone who's seeing him bowl, especially out in the UAE, have been really impressed with him. And it, but I still feel for the guy so much, because he's going to take the ball tomorrow morning or the day after, and the expectation is he'll be able to take 10 for 90, because, and it's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Well, the one thing is he's going to have to bowl a lot of overs, because with one seamer being Mark Wood, who doesn't bowl long spells, like the reason for picking Mark Wood is the impact that he can provide at pace. Maybe the ball gets reversing, maybe it doesn't, but you know, he's not going to bowl a 6 to 8 over spell. That's improbable from Mark Wood, especially in the heat. So by the way, how warm is it there? I neglected to mention that this time of year.
It's warm enough to make a boy from Southwest London sweat quite a lot, but I don't actually think it's that hot. It's quite cool at the moment, but I was told it gets really hot around 3:30 or 4 o'clock, and I felt like I was being lied to, because I went, that's not how the weather works.
Yeah, so it won't be like it was when Wood was in Sri Lanka around this time of year 3 years ago, when like 4 overs was his max. But still, bowlers like Hartley. And you can be sure that India will go after Hartley in exactly the same way they went after Leach 3 years ago, when Leach was targeted successfully by them. He did get into that innings and into that match subsequently, but still, there's an idea that you can go after a young spinner, especially if Rohit's in the middle with all that confidence he has against spin early on. We haven't actually mentioned Virat Kohli yet, which seems odd given the podcast has been running for 20 minutes and Kohli being only the, you know, the biggest name in the global game for the last 15 years or something like that. Speaking of guys that came in, you know, when he walked in, he was the new Sachin, wasn't he? It's a long running tale, players being given that poison chalice that you referred to with Hartley. So Kohli not being there and not being there for personal reasons as well, it does draw some focus to what the Indian 11 might look like. Although Rohit kept pretty quiet in his press conference today about that, I suppose there's still a debate going on around Kuldeep Yadav against Akshar. Kuldeep was brilliant in the World Cup, different format of the game, but still he was the man in form throughout the course of that home tournament. Akshar Patel enjoying such great success against England and Australia, albeit against Australia more with the bat this time last year. So that feels like the main selection question for them, with the usual firm of Ashwin and Jadeja leading up the spin group.
For sure. Rohit Sharma was very shittim about like the whole 11. He was weighing up the pros and cons of Akshar versus Kuldeep. He wasn't committed on the wicket keepers. He didn't really talk about the batting lineup at all. I think Kohli's absence is kind of it changes the feel of the series a little bit, because he's just such a high profile kind of superstar of the sport. But I don't think it will make that much of a difference to the opening two games. At least it's going to be a series defined by who takes their wickets the fastest, with kind of 50s and 60s being potentially being match winning scores, and whoever replaces Kohli could chip in with kind of a quick 540, and that is almost worth as much as the 60 that Kohli might get. So I wouldn't say that it's significantly harmed India's chances, but it has significantly harmed my enjoyment of the match, being someone here wanting to watch Virat Kohli.
All right, Cam, there's not really something of a final word Hall of Fame, but I've got an idea. Let's move to that now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When sweet tarts dared to combine sweet and tart, they thought, why stop there? Why not create other exciting and unexpected combinations, like rainbows and ropes, or fruity and gummy, or chewy and more chewy? That's why they created fun treats like Sweet Tarts Twisted Rainbow Ropes, Gummies Fruity Splits, and Chewy Fusions. When you dare to combine, it's sure to blow your mind. Sweet Tarts, dare to combine. Visit sweettartscandy.com to shop now.
The Final Word Hall of Fame will throughout the series be brought to you by Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City. Cam, I was at Westfield Parish yesterday. Celebrating, la-di-da. It was right near the place where we were staying for my wife's 40th birthday with the kids. And I used their bag lockers so we could have a bit of explore on the final day after checking out. So it shows that I'm brand loyal. I'm really living the Westfield thing. But I should tell you that at the final word, we love a lot of things. Running out the non-striker, Titch Freeman, flavoured milk, Wally Hammond leaving his dick somewhere in the Caribbean. It's very good. We said during the World Cup, Sheehan at Westfield, good copywriter. But there's one thing we absolutely don't love, downloading apps to park in specific places. Sheehan's been listening to our shows through the summer, because I often complain about that in Melbourne, that, or Australia full stop, that you get there and you've got to download a new app every time you want to fucking park your car. But as much as, but much like the No Homers Club, we're allowed to have one that we love. Ah, I see. Yeah. And that app is W Park. W Park is the brand new parking solution for Westfield shopping centres in the UK. And it's the smoothest and easiest way to park your car at Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City. Waiting in line to pay for your parking while your overstimulated and overtired children are running around screaming is a thing of the past. Once you've downloaded the app and registered your vehicles, you can drive straight in and straight out, and payment will happen automatically.
Oh my God.
That's a good advance. So what are you waiting for? Download W Park from Google Play or the App Store today and enjoy the smoothest parking experience of your life. Westfield, London, Stratford City, more extra, less ordinary. Cam, that sounds like a good solution to me.
I'm excited. One thing I do have to complain about, though, flavoured milk. I think it's one of the great, it is the single greatest stain on Australia's fine and checkered history. Just grown men just with strawberry milk on their top lip walking around. Can't get my head around it. But aside from that, I'm very excited to park. And final word, Hall of Fame. I've got a Hall of Fame. You got a Hall of Fame?
Yeah, what I wanted to do for Hall of Fame today, Cam, given you've just arrived in India and you've never been before, it is an experience arriving in a new country for the first time, no matter where it is. It's often augmented in India because it's such a vibrant place, so much going on straight away. Just give us your first reflections of being in this new, vast, extraordinary country.
I've been here for, 9 hours? Simple as anything, from the airport, straight through, got to my hotel, lost the booking, doesn't exist, currently homeless for the evening, but it'll be resolved. It's fine, it just has to be resolved. I've got to sleep somewhere.
It will be.
There is Arshad behind the desk, has been really nice, and so aside from that, I've actually had a very lovely day. I wandered from my hotel to where the rest of the journos are, stopped off at kind of a local breakfast place, got myself a chai, had a wander along to the hotel. I've had a really lovely day, I just don't have anywhere to sleep, and hey, details.
These things do work themselves out. Always. The one thing I've learned travelling through India quite a bit is that whenever you have some problem with your accommodation, another solution always presents itself. So I wish you well. Maybe we'll leave it there today. I realise now we've been chatting for the better part of half an hour. So these podcasts won't be this long on playing days. We'll show some discipline and try and keep them to roughly 20 minutes. I tell your friends, it'll be Cam Ponsonby at all 5 test matches every single day. Myself, Adam Collins, and Jeff Lemon tapping in at different points, and maybe some other special guest hosts. We haven't completely mapped out what the 5 test matches will look like. What we do know, though, is there'll be a show every single day for Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City, more extra, less ordinary. Cam, good luck with your hunt for a bed tonight. Looking forward to catching up tomorrow.
Can't wait. See you then. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant. I had to go.